Hi, Dan.
Hi, Jason.
I am in Los Angeles.
You sound different. You sound more Los Angelesian.
I don't think that's true. I am in a hotel room. I'm using a different microphone. Yes, I am a hotelian.
The hotelian are my, they're my, the hotelians was my favorite Doctor Who series.
Hmm. Yes, it was. That was an 8-part Patrick Troughton. It's lost. Only episode 5 remains, unfortunately,
yeah.
The hotelians.
Yeah. It's basically just a lot of people checking in, checking out, carrying luggage.
Yeah, it's basically a lot of monsters running around a lobby. Much like my hotel.
Any hotel, yeah.
Yes. Yeah, so hello from Century Boulevard at the Los Angeles International Airport. Woo!
Oh, man, it's a barn burner over there.
Everybody. It was raining and windy and stuff yesterday. It was pretty wacky, but I managed to get here. This is my week of podcasting from the iPad, which is funny. I have podcast from iPads before, but this is my podcasting from a setup that is as close as possible to replicating my normal podcast setup, except with an iPad and no laptop. I didn't want to bring my MacBook Air. There was a point last weekend where I was packing where I was thinking, I'm going to just need to bring the MacBook Air because I have to do 3 podcasts at least while I'm gone. And then I worked the problem and I figured out a way to make it work where, because the key things are, I need to record my microphone. Mm-hmm. I need to hear you. And ideally,
yeah,
I need
good.
To hear myself. I need to hear my own voice, too, which was the problem the last time we did this, you and I, where I couldn't hear myself, and I just sort of yelled into the microphone, and it overmodulated, and it was not good. So this time, I have, as with all iPad-related podcasting, you have to add more boxes.
Story. That was going to be my question, is the trade-off
boxes.
Of the more boxes you add... Still in your favor in terms of opposed to bringing a Mac.
Well, the USB interface that I brought is smaller and lighter than a MacBook Air.
Okay.
And better shaped because it's like a brick instead of a long thin thing.
I don't know that that's relevant, but okay.
Well, no, I mean, my carry-on bag is like a shoulder bag, and adding a laptop in versus just kind of putting in this little, I don't know, it felt like I got to baby a laptop a little bit more, but I didn't want to bring it, and so I didn't, but
well,
yes,
so
I did have to bring an extra thing, an extra box.
I'm curious to know how much, so like, you know, as we've talked about a bunch before, in terms of recording a podcast on the iPad, the biggest challenge is like, you can't record your microphone locally at the same time as being on Skype.
Correct.
Locally.
Correct.
So my question is, how much, if Apple simply found a way to do that, how much of your setup would be unnecessary?
If I could record while talking to you, record my microphone locally while having a conversation with you in Skype, if more than one app could have access to the microphone at one time, I would need... let's see. I have 3 boxes sitting on the table here. I would only need one of them.
And that box is?
A USB audio interface for the microphone. So
okay.
either the Zoom or the USB pre, but one of them, depending on my travel. Since I'm probably recording at least one live podcast while I'm here in LA, it would probably be the Zoom and not the USB pre. I could leave the USB pre at home, and I could leave the little... Wi-Fi transfer box that I have to use to get the files off the SD card because I'm recording on the Zoom recorder, routing that audio through the USB pre audio interface, which is giving me where I'm hearing it in my headphones, and that's going to my iPad where you can hear me.
And if you had, you know, for example, if you had a USB microphone, as I use when I travel, you wouldn't even need the pre. At that point, you need an adapter,
right? If I had a USB, if I brought the ATR, the Audio Technica microphone, and if it offered, the last time I tried this, I tried that with that microphone when we did that ill-fated secret podcast where I was shouting into the microphone. The problem there was that for whatever reason, it was not returning headphone signals to me of my own voice, only of your voice, and that is not. Great. But yes, ideally, theoretically, a USB microphone, you could just attach directly to the iPad and I wouldn't need any boxes at all. But because I'm doing this live recording and stuff, I'm bringing all my XLR microphones, which means there's no point in bringing yet another microphone. Yeah. So
I'm just thinking off the top of my head in terms of, I'm sure Apple is listening, and I'm just like enumerating for them what they need to
do. Calendar tells, it knows Apple.
So they all know each other up there.
They all the demigods. That would be easier. I mean, what the dream is that if you've got a USB microphone, you could plug it into an iPad or an iPhone and do a podcast, like, and put some headphones in and do a podcast and end up with all the pristine files. That's the dream, and it's just not a reality. So instead, I have a little collection of boxes sitting on a table in my
hotel room,
but at least it lets me do this without bringing two computers with me, basically, which was my plan. But the other way to go certainly would have been to leave the two boxes at home, the little Wi-Fi transfer box and the USB pre, and just bring the MacBook Air.
Yeah. I mean, and when I travel, that's generally what I do, just because it's easier that way. I mean, I use my iPad more for, like, on the flight, and then I'll use my MacBook Air for either when I'm, you know, doing working or writing or doing a podcast. So it's not the 11-inch MacBook Air is pretty small. The 10.5-inch iPad Pro is also pretty small. Put those both together, it's probably less than the weight of a MacBook Pro.
I have that thing where I'm not going to use the MacBook Air for anything else. Like, I'm not going to write on it. I'm not going to do anything on it. Like, I would prefer to do these things. First off, it's the old 11-inch and non-retina, and at this point, I would really rather write on my iPad. It's
all I've got, Jason.
So, but it's totally. And of course, there's the daredevil aspect of it, which is like literally, I just want to
see if
I could do it, and I can. So hooray! It's just more hoops than I'd like.
Excellent.
And all of that. But then I had that moment where you were like, it's Friday. I was like, oh yeah, right, it's Friday at 9 a.m. I could do a podcast. I have that power.
I saw your pictures and knew that you had already recorded more complicated podcasts than this.
Indeed.
So I figured it was plausible.
Yeah, yesterday, we had to add in a third caller, and then I had to get the call recorder files, and then I had to move the segments around, and I had to do all of that in about 20 minutes before I had to go to the airport, and I managed to do it. It was fine.
Yeah, everything works out. Meanwhile, I live in Tech Disaster Central.
I heard that your SSD and your Mac Mini that you put in there and wrote an article about several years ago gave up the ghost.
Yeah, I struggled for a little while trying to figure out what was going on, because I've had this intermittent problem where sometimes on a reboot or a power cycle or whatever, the Mac Mini will boot up and give you the circle with a slash through it sign.
Which means
can't find a Mac OS installation that it can use.
That happened on my Mac Mini, my old Mac Mini, that I did the same thing occasionally.
It was intermittent. I would restart, and oftentimes after a restart or two, it would start working again.
Yep.
And so, I mean, everything was backed up, right? I've got a super duper clone running. I got Backblaze. I got Time Machine. Like, the thing's backed up, so I wasn't super concerned about it, but I didn't know exactly what was causing it. And so what I discovered this time, because it wouldn't boot up, and eventually I had to boot into recovery mode and try to use Disk Utility to figure out what was going on. Disk Utility was not helpful, because what it showed me was there were two separate drives, which is a classic Fusion drive has become uncoupled situation. But one of them, which I believe to be the flash drive, although it was not correctly labeled as such, was registering basically like it was 33 kilobytes. And I looked around on that a little bit and basically found out what I think is the case is that it seems like there is essentially a way that this model of flash drive, there's a bug in the firmware that can make it stuck in the mode where it's trying to like check the firmware or download new firmware or something. Hmm. So it's probably booting to like some very small like EF, like firmware utility or something, and can't get out of that mode. And the firmware on this drive is also very old. It's like a couple of years. The drive itself is a couple of years old, and the firmware has never been updated as far as I know.
Right.
I don't know what to do about that. I can't even recreate the Fusion drive like partition or volume because it's a 33 kilobyte drive. So it doesn't even want to do that. So what I think I've concluded is I have to just put in a new SSD and then recreate the whole setup and then clone my super duper clone back to the drive. So not disastrous, but time consuming. And I haven't opened this thing in, you know, a couple years now. So I have to find all the tools and remember how to take it all apart and put it back together
which
again.
Is harrowing. Which is,
and that drive is a pain because you literally have to take everything else out of the computer. You have to almost completely disassemble it. So I'm not really looking forward to that. And I don't really have time because I'm off to a conference this weekend as well. So that will be a project for next week. And part of me is like, should I just buy a new Mac Mini?
No, that's stupid.
It's stupid.
A new Mac Mini.
It seems like overkill. I already bought a new drive for like $80.
That'll be. I was going to say you should just get a decent sized SSD. And if you're going to keep the spinning drive in there, just don't put them together. Just commit to just having a stuff that lives on the external drive, because at least then I know one volume is more convenient, but it's kind of a, you know, unsupported Fusion Drive configuration.
Yeah, I think this, based on conversations with people, including Stephen Hackett, it sounds like maybe these drives were not well regarded.
Yeah.
So I am probably going to, because I'm an idiot, I'm probably just going to do the exact same thing all over again. But, you know, it's, I mean, because it's still, buying giant flash drives is still not cheap.
If you kill it, there's a new Mac Mini you can buy, so you've always got that.
Exactly.
As your backup.
Exactly.
If you manage to destroy your Mac Mini, you can just get a new Mac Mini then. But
if I
appreciate
if I can save it for $80, great. And then if I need to like shell out $1,000 for a new computer, it's not undoable. But that was not the top of my list.
Plus disassembling it. I would charge more than $80 for that.
My time is valueless. Clearly.
Okay. All right. Well, you are a writer. It's fine.
Anyway, so that's been the excitement around here.
Oh,
and meanwhile, I mean, really the only current major impact of that is that my Plex does not work currently, because that's where all the Plex files are. But everything else is probably fine since it's all backed up somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
Yay. So, yeah, but this is the fun you don't get with your iPads. You don't have to like replace the flash drive in your iPad.
I'm unable to do so, right?
Yep. So, yeah, just it's called buy a new one.
Yeah, exactly. That's what they want you to do. Your flash storage. I've never had it where my flash storage has crashed, though, right?
No.
I've never experienced that.
You can probably get a bad chip or something, but it seems given just the sheer volume of solid state storage that is out there in devices, it seems like the failure rates are fairly low, at least, certainly compared to a spinning disk hard drive. Though I did laugh at the fact that the spinning disk hard drive is not the
still
thing
fine.
That failed.
Still fine. That is hilarious.
Yeah, that will go next, right after I put it all back together.
Well, I was
sure going to
say, do you want to invest in a new spinning disk right now, too, maybe? Just get it while you've got it disassembled?
Oh, geez. I got to think about that.
Because that's an old spinning disk drive. You may not actually want to do that.
Yeah, I definitely don't want to take it apart twice. That's a good point. All right, I'll do some research on that.
Yeah, all right. Think about it.
Actually,
I mean, if you're
going to
go all the way. That's what I'm saying.
I could put in two SSD. No.
You could.
I could. I don't think I can. Can you? I guess you could Fusion Drive two
well,
SSDs.
You just, I think you just.
You just turn them into one.
Yeah,
raid
merge,
them or something.
Merge, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I wouldn't do that.
I mean, it's not a good idea, but, you know, there's probably worse ideas.
Mm-hmm. Sure. Probably. This is weird. There's no laundry room here.
I know. No people to wander in. Presumably.
No dogs or cats to wander in. It's just me.
Very quiet.
It is very strange. What else is going on? I don't know.
Well, we do have a rumor of an Apple event.
Yes, we do.
At the end of March.
Surprising, but not surprising, because it's probably the announcement of the video service, although there was a very interesting story that said that they thought it would launch later than people were thinking. The thought was it was looking to launch in April and they might present it in March. But this other story said that was not true and that it would be launching later this year. I wonder if both of those things are kind of true. I wonder if Apple's going to make some content or pilots or something or a show available in April to maybe to Apple Music subscribers or maybe to everybody.
I think the to everybody thing is plausible. Like,
and
just
have
a trial launch.
And just, yeah, you know, use the TV app to get it. And so it's like training you about how to do it, but that the full service that you're going to get charged for is going to come later. There may be something to that, but I thought that was an interesting report that said that the reports that the shows were going to be, that someone familiar with the service said that the shows were not going to launch in April.
Yeah, I don't know. And I mean, you know, there's still the open question of whether there is any non-original content on there too, which could be something else that could bolster
right.
a launch. But yeah, that's a question. It's the only interesting thing to me about this really is just that, like, we are not only interesting, but like what makes it sort of unusual, I think, is that the reports that this is happening came much earlier, I felt like, than they often do, because it's still 6 weeks away or so.
Right. Well,
so
yeah,
oftentimes, like a month out or something. But
I assume it's because, you know, J.J. Abrams told somebody, yeah, or Jennifer Aniston told somebody. And I mean, what we've seen is that the entertainment industry, big surprise, leaks worse than the tech industry.
Also, presumably, if you're getting Jennifer Aniston and J.J. Abrams and other people to show up, you probably need to book them like way further in advance.
Yeah, I would think so. Depending on what they're doing, if they're working on a project like your TV show for Apple, that you're going to need. I mean, that happens all the time in the entertainment industry, but Apple is doing that for the first time here, where they have to deal with that sort of thing. And so it's like you need to come to the upfronts, or you need to come to the Television Critics Association, and this is you need to go to. Apparently, the Steve Jobs Theater, which I actually think is another little interesting data point, because they have never used it for anything but the iPhone events. They have taken, since they left Town Hall behind, to using other venues in other
right.
cities for yeah. a lot of their other events. And so I kind of assumed this would be a L.A.
Yep.
Thing where it would be at the, you know, where the Oscars are, something like
right,
that.
Right.
But the reports are anyway that they're going to be just at the Steve Jobs Theater, which is fine. It's a great venue. I think they should use it more than once a year. I think that's really dumb that they only use it for one public event.
They use it for internal stuff though too.
Sure,
right?
Sure they do. Yeah. But for in terms of a public event, they've only held what, two public events there.
Yeah.
So. I think it's great if they are doing it, but it is a break in what has been like a little mini pattern the last couple of years.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it's interesting too, because I think all of those events, the spring events, are much more of a wild card than certainly WWDC or September events in terms of what kind of things you'll see, because they don't have like, there's nothing on a sort of a set schedule that is going to pop up in the spring every time. Like, we've had iPad events sometimes, and we've had other sort of related education and all this other stuff, but it's a little more variable in terms of what they actually want to talk about or show off. And so we've got the, you know, obviously them talking about the video streaming service. There's a lot of talk this week, especially about the news service, which my piece in Macworld this week is a little bit about. And there's some suggestion that might roll out at the same time, which is interesting. I don't know, maybe you want to have Jennifer Aniston come and talk about how much he loves news. But people have also been downplaying, like, basically like product releases, even though there are products that people are kind of expecting at some point in the not too distant future, probably before, you know, June. So, you know, AirPods, AirPower,
yeah,
possible iPad revs.
From John Pikowski said no, basically, that you're not going to get the new Mac, you know, new iPad mini or the new AirPods at this event, that it's a services focused event. And that makes sense to me. I mean,
I don't think either of those need an event. I mean,
certainly
you just
not
kind of drop them.
Well, I'm going to overstate this, so I won't say it that way. I'll put it that way. I'm not going to say my sources tell me that I have heard that AirPods are getting really low or gone in the channel. And that the reorder times are like a couple of weeks out. Which suggests to me that, I mean, maybe there's a production hiccup, but it suggests to me that maybe that product is going to get released soon.
Sure.
That's AirPods 2. And again, yeah, they don't need an event for that. There is seemingly some group of people who think that Apple only releases new products at events, and it's never been true.
Yeah.
It's still not true, and it's not going to be true. So, you know, they can release those products without an event. Nobody needs to be like, Jennifer Aniston, ladies and gentlemen, now let me tell you about the new iPad mini. Like,
yeah,
it's not necessary.
I mean, especially
if the whole round of MacBook Pros without an event, yeah. It's fine.
I mean, especially if the iPad mini is really, as been suggested, kind of same form factor and case and new internals. It's right. Not anything that needs a huge fanfare or whatever.
No, if you do that combined with like a sixth generation iPad or seventh generation iPad, the low cost iPad, and you take that one and say, you know, you do review units and you do some press, but you don't necessarily need an event to say, oh yeah, we did another one. It's a little bit, the screen's a little bit bigger and it's still cheap or whatever. Like it
right,
doesn't,
right.
It's fine. It's not, in fact, they got a lot of stick for their Chicago event where it was just the iPad.
Right.
We're like, oh, that's it. It's just a cheap iPad and some educational initiatives. But, you know, so there's that too, which is, do they really want to call an event for a small product? They certainly don't need to. And I think focus, there's something to be said for focus. Like, yeah, I just don't see, they don't have to do it. And why would you spend time at an event that's all about your services strategy talking about an iPad mini or something like that? I don't see it. I think what you do have to do in an event like that is explain your strategy a little bit more. And I feel like with the news thing, in addition to the video thing, and of course existing with Apple Music, I do feel like they've got some explaining to do about how they bundle the stuff together. If they do, am I doing three separate things? Or the suggestion in one of the reports is that they will offer some kind of a bundle. And I think that would actually be a much better deal. I wrote a thing that isn't up yet for Tom's Guide that's basically like, if they're telling publishers that they're going to be a lot of subscribers to this news thing, and that the revenue is going to come pouring in for them, that leads me to believe that there's going to be a bundle, because I don't believe that anyone in good faith could say there were going to be a lot of subscribers standalone to Apple's news service.
Yeah, I, this is the piece I wrote in Macworld this week, is basically, you know, the hurdles that Apple's going to have to deal with in terms of this. And I agree with you in that, because I think there's a couple challenges happening there. One, this report we saw this week about the 50-50 split and how people are responding to that. And specifically saying that the papers that have done a good job of converting readers into paying subscribers, your Wall Street Journal, your New York Times, Washington Post, are not thrilled, obviously, about that split, because right now they get 100% of all the money they bring in. And, you know, the people who it's appealing to are more like the magazine people who have not really successfully monetized their content. And so the question is, if those papers are, you know, if Apple sticks to its guns and the papers don't want to take that deal, now we're talking about a news service or that lacks some of the most prominent papers potentially, you know, in the country, which is a challenge.
Or is selling them, as they may even be right now, selling them as just like
separate subscriptions,
like Prime
or
channels. And which they're going to do with their TV service, where they're going to add-on services that you can also buy through Apple, and they show up in
right.
the TV app.
But
that may be what the New York Times and the Washington Post are, and the news thing is, and if you want the New York Times. But you're right. Otherwise, it's kind of like, oh, I'm paying for news content, except for all this news content that I want to see.
The additional challenge there, as you said yourself with the standalone subscribers, is, you know, a lot of those papers have already kind of picked off the people who are likely or easily
right.
willing to pay for things. So now you've got to convert people who are, you know, used to getting things for free to paying customers, which is also a challenge, which is where I think you're right. The bundle comes in, because if you're saying, well, if you already subscribe to Apple Music, or if you want to subscribe to, you know, the Apple TV service or whatever, we'll make you a deal. And we'll include the news service as part of it. And that point, that might get you a lot more subscribers. And then maybe you are making up on volume. But yeah.
Yeah, it seems not. The terms were bananas. I feel like my gut feeling, not knowing anything else about it, is just from my background doing publishing and all that, is that the people who are really enthusiastic and believe that the percentage doesn't matter because the revenue is going to be so large are being taken for a ride, and they're going to regret it almost instantly. And the companies that are reluctant to make a deal with Apple on, I thought, even on a 30-70 term, and certainly even on a 15-85 term, I'm skeptical of it. Like, if you're the New York Times or the Washington Post, you want a direct relationship, and you can afford to hold out for a direct relationship. So I think...
But if you're not,
my
then
prediction,
that might be.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, my prediction is that this will launch, and it will be troubled and they will have to make changes and it's going to be tweaked for a while. That's my guess, is that they'll go ahead and launch it with the partners that they've got, and then reality will hit and they will have to make some changes. And that's
I think it's going to look a lot less like what you might expect the Uber bundle to look like, and a lot more like kind of what Texture already was.
Yes, it's going to be select magazine content, and there's going to be a channel in Apple News that if you subscribe, you get all of this content that's unlocked for you from all of these different sources. But it's going to be much more like, oh, we have a bunch of content for you, and not just read whatever and it's all unlocked. Because instead, you're still going to pay, and you're still going to hit a paywall, or you're going to get a limited number of articles, or you're going to say, why can't I get more of this without paying, because I thought I was already paying, and the answer is going to be, well, you're really paying for that, Sports Illustrated article, or that Atlantic article,
Weekly, or whatever,
and not for the New York Times or whatever, Wall Street Journal.
And then my little tidbit thrown in at the end of my article for the challenges that Apple has to deal with is that their Apple News app on the Mac sucks.
Yes.
And that's got to get, if they're really pushing this as sort of a premium service, they have to strongly reconsider exactly how they're distributing that on the Mac side of things, because
I don't know how many people are reading news on the Mac, although I'm sure
I don't either,
some of them are.
But
and it's usable, but it's not good, and it needs to be better.
I would like to think if you're selling it as a service that you would at least want it to look like it looks nice and works well on all of our products. But yeah, I don't know. And also then there's the throw in too of makes me wonder if they might have an Apple TV prong of this as well. There's certainly a lot of video content in a lot of these providers. So I don't know. Might there be an Apple News TV OS app in the offing at some point?
Or would you just put that in
the TV service? I don't know. It's a weird, it's a weird merging there. So I'm kind of curious to see if they think about that at all, or if that's just not a thing.
But there's plenty for them to talk about in terms of services, and and it doesn't have to be a 2-hour barn buster kind of event either. It can be, but presumably they will show lots of clips of the shows, and they'll have maybe it will be a, we're going to announce our launch lineup, and we're going to have the shows, the showrunners and the stars come out and explain what's going on, and they're gonna have
gonna
a
wow
chatting
you.
And they're gonna they're gonna wow you with footage, with like trailers and stuff, and they'll put on a show. I think they can do it with just services, so I hope I get an invitation for that one, because I would love to see what an Apple services event looks like. That's fascinating to me.
Yep. Well, that's an increasingly big chunk of their money, so I guess we will get used to seeing those being more of a thing.
Yeah. Yeah, and maybe I will finally... I keep saying this as a joke. I'm not serious, and also it's not ever going to happen, but I can finally have my lifelong dream of meeting and or being in the same room with Jennifer Aniston, so that's great. That's great. Being in the same room, yes. Meeting, certainly not.
Probably not. Probably not. Yeah.
I just find out, I keep singling out Jennifer Aniston because I watch Friends. It is just funny to think of that this is Apple's thing now, is that they are going to have like entertainment industry people on stage. That's just, it's funny. Steve Carell could be on stage.
Yeah.
Reese Witherspoon could be on stage. Ron Moore, who is just a Harry Ryder guy. will they let Ron Moore and his beard come on stage? I hope so. I like Ron Moore.
I actually have already been in the same room twice with J.J. Abrams at totally different events, because he did a WWDC talk one year.
Right, right.
And
well,
I went to that.
J.J. is actually, I feel like J.J. has lived his entire life for the moment where he's on stage in an Apple keynote.
only to contrast that with when I was at the Star Wars Celebration, and Force Awakens was coming out, and he came out there too. I think those were probably those are pinnacle moments probably for J.J. Abrams. Not directing the movie.
He's just a giant Apple nerd. For those who don't, I wrote about a thing that he did on a blog many years ago, and he emailed me and professed his love of Macs at the time, and the Alias opening title sequence, his TV show Alias, was completely made by J.J. Abrams. The music was done by J.J. Abrams on his Mac. And the title sequence itself was like a Macromedia Director or something thing that J.J. Abrams made himself. So I'm just saying that moment where if J.J. Abrams gets to stand on a stage with Tim Cook, I think he will be really happy.
Yeah, he was. His WWC thing was pretty great, actually. He was very. He's a very amusing guy in person. He's very, very personable, very funny. So, yes. See, I can see why you want him on stage.
Yeah. Well, we will see. But if you're wondering why we're talking about so much entertainment stuff on this, it's because I'm in LA, baby.
That's right. You've gone Hollywood, Jason.
I have no idea. I am. I am Doc Hollywood. No, wait, that's wrong. That's Michael J. Fox. That's a movie with a pig.
And I'm your Huckleberry. No, wait. That's.
It's all Boston Dan.
What are you up to now, Boston Dan? Oh, no.
Hey, we,
don't start
we
that.
Represent you and I on this podcast. As a little sports talk here, fans. Get ready for it. But hold on to something. We represent right now the cities that won and lost the World Series and the Super Bowl right at this moment.
Yeah, that's true.
I walked past a sign that said Los Angeles in big capital letters, and under it in like a little banner, it said World. I forget what it was. It was like World Headquarters or World Central or World something of some company. And I, for a moment, I thought it said World Champions. And then I thought, no, it doesn't.
Nope. Sorry. 0-2.
Yeah, I'm a Giants fan. What can I say? That's fine. Great. My team isn't very good, but their arch rival. And their arch rivals are very good, but they have not won the World Series. That's all I got left. So go Red Sox, I guess.
Milk it. It's fine.
Anyway, So the Rams and the Dodgers are sad, and the Patriots and the Red Sox are apparently great. And that is your sports segment for today.
So that's sports on the nines.
That's right. Now it's time for traffic and weather.
Just throw it over
to LA. There's a lot of traffic, Dan. And,
and
in
some,
weather,
and there's some weather,
rain throughout the West Coast with some snow in the Northwest. That's
wow. It's unusual. It's unusual when the weather forecast on the West Coast looks very similar to the weather forecast on the East Coast.
Yeah, it's a legitimate weather update. My family back at home has gotten in the last 48 hours, I believe, about 5 inches of rain.
Wow.
Yeah, I missed it. Oh, well. Oh, well.
Yeah,
and my weather station. Oh, I've got some breaking. Actually, traffic and weather on the nines. Breaking news. My weather station that I've been talking about for so long that I installed in 2004 in my backyard. It hasn't died, but
has it not died?
Well, ironically, when we're getting all this rain, the rain sensor has died. So it's still telling me the temperature, but it's gleefully saying there has not been any rain since early February, and I hate to break it to it, but there has been a lot of rain since early February.
It couldn't handle the volume.
It was dead before the downpour even happened. I don't know what happened. So I just want to spend a moment to point out, rare is the tech product that lasts almost 15 years, let alone one that lasted almost 15 years outside.
Yeah.
So
that
I'm
is
gonna,
robust.
So I in the end I decided to buy another one of them. Although I was looking, there are a bunch of like consumer weather stations that hook up to the internet and stuff, and I said, you know what, I feel like the Davis weather products deserve some of my loyalty, given that it lasted for 15 years in my backyard. So I'm going to just get another one and swap it in, basically, and continue along, hopefully, for another 15 years. If I'm still in the house in 15 years, I'll buy a third one. I'm okay with that.
Yeah, that's reasonable. 15 years is pretty darn good. I agree.
For a tech product? I mean, like,
I'm
when I bought
about
it...
what I own were, that's 15 years old.
Well, when I bought it, the wireless receiver that you had to attach came with it wasn't a serial port, it was a parallel port that you had to adapt to a serial port to plug into a Mac. And then later you had to adapt that to USB, or adapt the parallel to USB. It was a whole thing. It's ridiculous. Now it's got an IP logger, so it's actually just on my local network, and my software talks to it, and it's fine.
The oldest piece of hardware probably in my house that's still in active service is, I think, the AirPort Extreme router. Because I want to say that's coming up. I'm pretty sure that I bought that around the time I moved into this apartment, which is coming up on 9 years. And that is still running. But that, I'm just looking around thinking, like, I have stuff that is that old that probably works, but it's not in, like, regular usage. But that one, Yeah, that one's pretty old and is still chugging along there, and I still don't know what it will do, what I'll do when it dies, because I'm probably not buying an Amazon Eero anymore.
Sigh. Yeah. Yeah.
But
I like my Eero, but you know, I'm not like everybody. I share the general feeling of why must enormous tech company buy product I like.
Yep. But just to make us all mad.
They must.
That's probably
they must.
What it is.
That's suffice it to say they must. All right. Well, from Los Angeles, I've been reporting, and now I'm going to be done. I've been recording too, so this podcast will come out. And thanks to everybody out there for subscribing and supporting us and listening. And until next week, when I will hopefully be sitting in my chair at home watching the cat and doing some laundry. Bye, Dan.
Bye, Jason.